Tonight, I've sent out a note to all of those of you that are involved specifically in Prayer Square, but it's open to anybody, because on Pentecost Sunday was a day about tarrying for God's presence, for his power, and for that work of his Spirit to be active. And I'm asking you to come tonight to church, because we're going to spend some time praying and tarrying, specifically for three things that Pastor Chris is asking us to pray about when he comes. And so we'll share those three things with you tonight. As well, we want to be praying about the 7 days of Christmas, spring edition, and the impact that we can have in the world. Just like they had an incredible impact, those first 120 believers and then the 3,000 that were added to the church, they had an incredible impact in terms of touching their society. We want to be able to touch our society as well and those that are around us. And so we're going to be praying for that. We're going to be praying for our conference as well. So just come tonight, and just because corporate prayer is so important. We can see it throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. The people just gathered because as they did and as they prayed together, there were times where God called them together. And I just believe this is one of these nights where we've been called together to pray on behalf of what we're looking forward for God to do. Well, you know that we are in a series entitled Coach in Your Corner. And it's a series on the Holy Spirit. And our topic last week that we touched on was, who is our coach? Of course, the coach is the Spirit of God. And one of the points that I made was that he's a player's coach. The Holy Spirit is a player's coach. And as a player's coach, he knows us so well. And I ended the sermon by talking about the fact that he knows you so well that he's able to intercede for you. He knows what's happening in your life. He knows what's going on. And because of that, when we stop praying or when we can't pray, he's praying for us. And he prays in concert with God's will. So as we're praying and we're saying, oh God, what's going on? He's saying, oh God, this is your will. This is exactly what you would want for Marshall. This is what exactly you would want for Sue. And so we just praise in terms of God's will, continually interceding for us. I trust that was just captured your heart this week, and that it was just an uplifting thought, that as you continue to pray, as you continue to just ask for God to be at work in your life, you will know that the Spirit of God is at work in you in the same way, praying on the same line. So last week said, who is your coach? This week I want to look at the topic of the impact of our coach, because he does have impact. There is one person who, in many ways, has dominated the headlines, especially in Ontario over this past week, and it's a coach. People are already nodding your head. You already know that I'm going to talk to you about Mike Babcock. You're already aware that he has left the Detroit Red Wings, and he's coming to coach the Toronto Maple Leafs. Now, all the Leaf fans are yay and yes. They're saying, yes, yes, yes. I texted Pastor Tim, and I said, you got to be like, have you stopped jumping up and down? And he said, yeah, he said, I stopped jumping up and down when I realized that the star of the Maple Leafs isn't a player, it's the coach. And there is some truth in that. But I do know from my own sports experience that coaches can make an incredible difference and have incredible impact. And Mike Babcock, those in the hockey world that say he's the best coach in the game. He has won at every level that he's coached at. He has been able to impact players so that they become better, that they actually have an understanding of how to play their positions with incredible ability. And it's great, but I will tell you that as great as he is, there is no coach who can impact you like the Holy Spirit. The impact of the Spirit of God in our lives goes beyond doing what is great, because as we know from our own lives, he transforms us. There's this transformational work that the Spirit does that is almost unbelievable. And for some of you, you look back at your life and you say, that is so true, Pastor. The impact of the Spirit on my life since I've come to Christ has been phenomenal. We see that in our lives, and it's just not at that one moment of salvation that happens. That desire for the impact of the coach in terms of the work of the Spirit in our lives is an ongoing one. We're going to look at that this morning. Because as we take a look at Romans chapter 8, we're going to look specifically at verses 15 through 17. But before we do, I want you to know that Paul, as he's talking to those in Rome, and he's writing to them, he's talking about this transformational work that the Spirit has done in their lives at the moment they came to know Christ as Savior. Once just the work of him in terms of them becoming believers in Christ. But then he talks to them, not only is there this great work of the Spirit and the impact that he did to take you from where you were really, you were dead and your trespasses and sin, and he's made you alive in Christ, but you need to know that there's even more that the Spirit wants to do. And so it's the work of the Spirit. And he says to the Romans, he says, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ." What an impact that is in our lives. In fact, I want you to read it again. But before you read it again, I want you to know that before salvation, you were in bondage. We were in bondage. We were a slave to sin. But because Christ has come into our lives and the Spirit now fills us, we're no longer in bondage. The Spirit has positioned us in a phenomenal way. The Spirit impacts us by reminding us and telling us that we have been adopted, that we are God's children. So just take a moment, read through who it is you are because of the Spirit of God in your life. We are heirs of the Father. We are joint heirs with the Son. It's an amazing thing. And yet, as I look at my own life, there have been times in my life where I could say, you know, and you may be here in the same place, say, I get salvation. I understand going from what was old to what is new. But sometimes we can have a difficulty with really comprehending who we are in Christ. Yeah, I was saved, but what does that really mean? What does that look like? Can we really get this idea of adoption in terms of what it does mean to us into our hearts so we understand who we are in Christ? Let me try to illustrate that by giving you just this illustration from my own life. When the very first church I was in, I had a pastor who, when he wanted to see me, when he wanted to talk to me, always set an appointment that was always in his office at his bidding. He would set it up, and I never had an appointment with him unless it was done in that fashion. That was unless I had done something wrong, which happened occasionally. That meant that he would come into my office unannounced, and he would just let me have it and just let me know what I had done wrong and where I'd failed or whatever it was that had happened and how that I was responsible, and he would leave. He wasn't really the most warm or caring person that you would ever meet. And so when I, after 4.5 years of working in that environment, when I came here and Paul Cassidy, who the pastor who brought me onto staff, I was here about 10 days. And through that 10 days, there had already been some meetings with Paul, and some of them had been lined up and, you know, staff meetings and that. And okay, I need to see you and here, get this. And I remember about 10 days into this thing, he comes into my office totally unannounced. Well, you know what happened to my heart rate? You know what happened to my pulse? You know what happened to my palms? Like, you just know what happened to me. And he sits down in the chair, and I am thinking, like, I've only been here 10 days. Like, I couldn't have done anything wrong in 10 days yet. And then he, as he sits back in the chair, he had a habit of taking his shoes off when he came to work. And he throws his sock feet up on my desk. And I'm like, what in the world is going on? And so now I'm really conflicted. As he begins to talk to me, he just begins to ask me questions about life. He just wants to know how I'm adjusting. He wants to know how Mary's doing because she's 6 months pregnant and she's still in Chatham you're moving and when's that going to happen and how's Drew doing today because the Sunday before Drew had fallen and hit his head and we had to take him to the hospital. And he just started to talk to me about life. And he just showed this care for me. And I'm like, and I don't even remember some of the answers. I was just so stunned. I'm in this new environment, and this man is caring for me. He's concerned about me. He's concerned about my family. And I thought, man, this is just totally unbelievable. And I use that because there are some times that we come and we know we've been saved, but sometimes we don't understand the totality of the care that is ours because of us being adopted into God's family. Paul adopted me onto the staff of WPA. And as such, he was going to care for me and show his concern and his love for me. And when we come not only does Christ save us, not only does the Spirit of God enter into our hearts at salvation, but from that moment on, because we're children of God, he wants to show us this unbelievable care. And the impact that Paul had on me that day was incredible. And the impact that the Spirit of God wants to have in our lives on a daily basis by showing us his care and his desire and what's happening in our worlds and to know what's going out is equally as great. I never worried again when Paul came into my office unannounced, because I knew that he had my best interests at heart. I was free from that which had plagued me from the past. I knew that that wasn't going to be the way it was. And we can be free from any bondage because when we've been adopted, the Spirit of God is just always there speaking to us about who we are and how he can take care of us. To some measure, we have a very good understanding of this concept of adoption. The concept that we have in our world of adoption comes really from the Roman world. The concept of adoption in Jewish society was non-existent. You didn't adopt somebody. We know that there was a kinsman redeemer, but that was all about family and the need there was in the Jewish world and Jewish society to take care of family. If that person was related to you, you were responsible for him. You didn't adopt them. That was just part of culture. That was part of life. That's part of what God did. But that wasn't the case in Rome. That wasn't the case in Greek thought. If something happened and you were in need, your father, your mother had died, you'd been separated, something tremendous happened and you were in debt or whatever took place that made you not able to take care of yourself, in Roman culture and in Greek culture, you were on your own. Oh yeah, you could become a slave. They had slaves, but nobody was taking care of you like there was that in Jewish thought and Jewish culture. In the Roman world, much like our own, when a child was in need, if there was something that happened, the Romans came up with this idea of here's how we're going to take care of people. We're going to come up with this word, and they use the word adoption, and we're going to adopt you. In other words, when I adopt you, you leave your world where you have nothing. You come into my world where you have everything that I have. And so we're well aware of this. There are some of you that have been adopted, and in good adoptions, you understand the difference from having nothing to having everything in your home. And how that new home begins to be the place that love and provision and care and everything that you would ever require to help you get through life happens. As I was studying this week and just being reminded of the whole concept of adoption, I was reminded that Nero, who was the emperor when Paul wrote this letter to the Romans that we have been took this passage from, that when Nero was about 3 years of age, his dad passed away. It left him and his mom somewhat destitute. Some years later, Nero's mother married Claudius. He married the emperor of Rome. And when that took place, Nero moves from having nothing to having everything that would be his because he's now the son of the emperor. In a moment's time, he goes from just no kind of future to having a future that was unbelievable to being the heir of Rome, the emperor. And in fact, in time, he became the emperor. From nothing to everything. What an amazing change would have taken place if we would have been able to talk to Nero. What was life like before? Well, what's it like now? Well, look at, I'm now the emperor. This is who I am. Found it fascinating. I just quickly took a look to see when Paul wrote his letter to Rome and when Nero took office, as it were. And it's at least, there's about 2 years between the time where Nero was leading Rome and the emperor of Rome, and Paul writes this letter. Now, I'm not telling you that Paul knew about Nero and was kind of putting this in, but I do find it fascinating that Paul would speak to the Romans about adoption. And the Romans, as they were thinking about this whole concept of adoption, about being adopted into God's family, they would have for them in their thinking the fact that, well, man, the guy who's leading us right now, he had no place, he had no position, he had nothing going for him until this man stepped into his world and brought him into his family and adopted him. And all of the rights of the emperor became Nero's rights. And all of a sudden, life changed. And so Paul, as he's talking to them about this concept of adoption, is speaking to them about, again, this fact that where you went from where you were, that you had nothing, you had no future, you had no hope, there wasn't anything really going for you. But because of Christ and the reconciliation there is in Christ and the Holy Spirit coming into your life and the Spirit of God in Romans 8, it talks about is making us new. The Spirit of God brings us to an understanding. Not only is it new, but you've been adopted. Your old way of life is gone. Everything about your former way of life is now gone because now you've been adopted into God's family. Now you're a child of the King. And just like Nero's world changed, there was this, Paul was trying to get through to them, your world has changed because you are now the Son of God. What an amazing concept. What an amazing thought to have just begin to reverberate through their hearts and through their minds. As we take a look at Scripture, we understand that this what adoption means. It means we are full members of God's family. We have immediate access to God. We bear His name. Isn't that awesome? And we have a full share in the inheritance He promises His children. And we have full rights and privileges to heaven, not only in this life, but in a life to come. Lastly, Satan has no claim on us because we are no longer part of his family. He is no longer our father. Our father is God. I found this is just a neat way to express this because somebody wrote, now that we have access to God, we're to use it. We're rich now, so don't live like a pauper. You have the Holy Spirit. Don't live in the flesh. You have a new family. Stop living like you belong to your old one. You have brothers and sisters. Lean on them. You have spiritual gifts. Put them to work for Christ. You've been set free from Satan's power. Don't mess around with the devil anymore. Because we've been adopted, we have a new family. It should impact us every day of our lives. But we know that because we have a new family, that doesn't keep Satan from trying to mess with us. We understand that. We understand that because we're new creatures in Christ Jesus and because we're walking away, there is this war that happens within us. Even the Apostle Paul says, man, there are things that I don't want to do that I end up doing, and we understand that and comprehend it. But again, as the Bible says, though a righteous man would stumble seven times, he gets up and he keeps going. And the desire in our hearts and in our lives is to continually remind ourselves, and it's even the work of the Spirit, that we are God's children, and there is so much on our behalf. But what takes place in our lives is that we do have Satan messing us. Why? Why does he do that? Well, it's his nature. He's the accuser of the brethren. He's the father of lies, and so he's always accusing us. He's always lying to us. He's always trying to cause us to fall. To step back, to step away from the relationship that we have, to return into his world, leave the world that is ours. We also know that he wants to distance us from God. He wants us to think that God is against us and not for us, or that God wants nothing to do with us. I'm sure that you, like me, have noticed that when Satan is at work in your life, he seems to shout. He seems to just yell. He seems to be so boisterous. He's obnoxious, isn't he? Always just working, just trying to get our attention and try to keep that attention focused on something, trying to lure us in some measure away from the life that we have in Christ, that adopted life where we have everything in him. And so in this desire to mess with us, he's there constantly working against us. As loud as he is, I've noticed in my life, and I'm sure you have as well, that it seems that as loud as he is, the Spirit of God seems to be on the other, totally other end of the volume scale. The Spirit of God just seems to be just quietly, almost in, as it were, in the background. And really, there's spiritual, there's a scriptural, I should say, component to this, because we know at one point it says, "In the still small voice of the Lord will lead you, hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it." And the Spirit of God is just always there. And what's beautiful is that Paul tells us that there is this wonderful, incredible phrase that the Spirit of God wants to make us aware of on a daily basis. The impact of him is that he's continually telling us, or bearing witness, as Paul says, with our spirit, that we are the children of God. Here's the Spirit of God impacting us by continually reminding us that we have spiritual blood, royal blood, flowing through us, flowing through our veins. And he does this because he knows this is one of the greatest ways he can impact our lives. It's by reminding us of our heritage. It's by reminding us of our future. We aren't what Satan says we are. We are who the Spirit tells us we are. And we are children of God. So right now, he's saying, Marshall, Mary, Sandra, Beth, David, you are a child of God. Because I've adopted you. You're my child. And as such, there should always be this wonderful cry that comes from our hearts that says, Abba, Father. And there are times when we can just express it, just like as a child comes without even saying anything or needing anything. The child just says, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. But there's other times we know that the child comes, Daddy, 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 and we know that there's something the child needs. But that word catches our attention. It touches our heart. And the same is true because when we've been adopted into God's family, we just call out to him and say, Abba, Father, Abba, Father, Abba, Father. His attention is turned to us. It's turned to us in love. It's turned to us in terms of, what's your need? Let me address that need for you. Let me help you through that. And because we're children of God, and because we get to express this love to him as Abba, Father, it's this wonderful reminder that as such, we are loved. We are appreciated, we are wanted, we are important, we are significant, we are watched over, we are cared for, we are valued, we are precious. We are God's priority. All because we've been adopted into his family. That is the impact of the coach has on our lives. And in this day and age, you and I know that we need to be continually hearing that thought pressed into our spirits by God's Spirit, that expression of his heart towards us, because we know that this world can be lonely, it can be cold. But yet there's this wonderful, warm work of the Spirit that says, bearing witness with us, reminding, continually testifying to us that again, that we're loved, we're cared for, all of those things that the Spirit of God wants to do. I mentioned a moment ago that the Spirit of God, as he comes into our lives and speaks to us, that the enemy continually speaks to us as well. And so there's times we just have to learn how to tune him out. And I just thought of three quick illustrations in regard to this in terms of hearing that bearing witness of the Spirit in our lives. It's cutting the grass this week, and when I do, you know, you fire up that gas-powered lawnmower, and it makes a lot of noise. But not only does it make noise, I really concentrate so that I don't miss any grass, so I don't have to go over anything again. So if Mary wants to get my attention when I'm cutting grass, she's not even going to try. She knows it's just like, that's just, I'm going to wait till he's kind of done. He's got a job to do, he's focused on it, let him do his job. And I find in life at times that we can be very focused on what we need to do in life. All kinds of things that need our attention. They're just like cutting the grass needs to be done. There are all kinds of things that need to be done in our lives. If you have kids, you know what it is. You got to get them to their appointments. You got to get them maybe to school in the morning. You may have to get them to their sports activities. In terms of your own job, you got to get there yourself. There's deadlines. There's things. You're continually focused. You know, there's just, as you look at the things that you need to do in life, you can actually be burning the candle at both ends. And as you do so, maybe it's because your time management is poor, or it's just really sometimes just it's almost non-existent. And when life is on the edge of being out of control and we have no margin, no space for ourselves, we find ourselves getting weary. We find ourselves getting worn out. And in those moments, it's like that roar of the engine. The enemy just keep going. You got to keep going. You got to finish. You got to, you know, you got so much to do. You're never going to get it all done. But what I found in my own life is that when I just kind of take a step back and I begin to listen to what the Spirit is saying, because he's bearing witness with my spirit that I'm a child of God. God, here's what's happening in my life. What are you saying? What's the witness that you're bringing to my spirit right now? And there have been times when the witness to my spirit, probably like the witness to your spirit, has been, you need to come aside and rest. You need to come and just slow down. You need to look for a place where you can find some margin. You need to be able to do something so that you're, because you're heavy laden, but if you'll come to me and spend time with me, I will give you rest. And the Spirit is there bearing witness to the fact that he wants us to be able to find that rest. Second illustration that comes from home, from not so much from home, but if you've ever lived near a construction site, or if you, whether it's home or a building, and I remember when they were redoing the street last year out here, out on High Street between us and the high school. Man, I'd get here in the morning, it didn't matter, it seemed what time I got here, the construction vehicles were out there, and they were making all kinds of noise. And if you've ever lived near a construction site, you understand that they start early in the morning, they seem to go late at night, and you can't seem to get away from the noise, can't seem to get away from all that's taking place. And it can just really start to grate on you. And as I thought about that, I thought about the trials and the tribulations that we can go through, the sense of loss that we face. The loss could be of a loved one, it could be loss of a job. It could be the dismantling of a dream. It could be just something that's taking place in our lives, and it's just this constant noise, this constant work, this constant wearing on our lives because of what is happening. And again, because the Spirit, because we've been adopted, the Spirit wants to bear witness, because we're God's children, that even in the midst of loss, even those times when we're overwhelmed by what is taking place, the witness of the Spirit to us is going to be, trust me. Put your hope in me. Lean on me. Because I am for you. I am not against you. I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. And remember, I believe the Spirit will just bear witness with this so often in our lives, that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Third thing I thought of in terms of how the enemy can speak and we get caught up by him is what I'm going to call the electric toothbrush approach. This thing doesn't make a lot of noise. In fact, you can hardly hear it, I'm sure. But if I'm in the bathroom and I turn this on and I put it in my mouth and begin to let it go through its 2-minute cycle, Mary can be outside of the bathroom door, she could be in the bedroom, and she'll begin to ask me a question. She'll begin to talk to me about something. And for the life of me, I have no idea what she's saying. And I have to go through a 2-minute cycle till my teeth are done so I can go back and say, hey, will you repeat that again? In our lives, there are times where the enemy works in what I would say is like a 2-minute cycle. What am I meaning by that? It means it's something that's going to have a short time span. Because it's days that our lives can be filled with worry. They can be filled with fear because of a specific event. It can be filled with anxiety, disappointment, discouragement. There are just little bits of time that are stolen from us because of what's taking place. And we get caught up in those things. But again, because of the Spirit bearing witness with our spirit, because of what he wants to do in us, what he begins to tell us is that we are his children. And we need to comprehend that he wants to impact our lives. And he does so by telling us that everything that's happening in our world, he can use. He will take care of us. We're not to be anxious about anything, but we're to cast all of our cares upon him because he cares for us.